We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour, we have another chance for you to win $1,000 with our keyword cash.
Bake, B-A-K-E, bake. Text the word into 72881.
Got all hour to do so for $1,000. That's your chance in a national contest. And a reminder, tomorrow we're broadcasting live. We'll be at Oak Park Mall for the Caring for Kids Radiothon for the Salvation Army Children's Shelter. We want to get it kicked off today. UMB Bank has generously donated their suite for tomorrow's Chiefs game. All you got to do is call Chris at the Salvation Army. I'll give you the phone number here in a second. A $500 donation gets you a pair of tickets into the suite with hors d'oeuvres and refreshments, a gold parking pass. Game time tomorrow, 7:30. We have 10 pairs of tickets. So if we can get 10 people to donate $500 each, that would kick off the Radiothon in a big, big way. $500 gets you both tickets. If you are interested, call Chris at the Salvation Army, 816-803-0935, 816-803-0935. First come, first serve. Once we get rid of all 10 pairs, they are gone. Let's get this Radiothon kicked off. And again, we'll be broadcasting live to raise as much money as we can tomorrow.
Next story comes to us out of Cincinnati.com. And the vice mayor there calling for a complete investigation into why an 11-year-old girl accused of stealing from a Kroger was tased. In fact, the vice mayor, Christopher Smitherman, said, "I expect answers in 24 hours as to why an 11-year-old would be tased." And yet a Cincinnati police officer used a taser to stun the 11-year-old girl suspected of stealing from Kroger on Monday. An off-duty officer working security at the Spring Grove Village Kroger was investigating several young girls accused of stealing from the store. The officer approached the 11-year-old, but she ignored the officer and continued to walk away. That is when the officer struck the girl in the back with the taser. The girl was arrested on charges of theft and obstructing official business. She was taken to Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center for evaluation and then released to a parent's custody. We have the police chief, Elliot Isaac, who said, "We are extremely concerned when force is used by one of our officers on a child of this age. As a result, we'll be taking a very thorough review of our policies as it relates to force on juveniles, as well as the propriety of the officer's actions." Police officials said the officer was wearing a body camera, but did not activate the camera until after the taser was used. How convenient.
Convenient.
The department's policy of body cameras states officers are required to activate the devices during all law enforcement-related encounters, but also says during extenuating circumstances, utilization of the cameras may not be possible. Police department policy says tasers are for self-defense or to temporarily immobilize a subject who is actively resisting arrest. By the way, if you're not as certain about how tasers work, they generate electricity using a small handheld battery-operated unit about the size of a handgun. When you use it the right way, it generates an electrical current that dominates your muscular and sensory nervous system, and so you're physically incapacitated and you can't move. You don't have muscle control then, allowing officers to gain control over you at that point. The department policy adds officers should avoid using the taser on obviously pregnant females and those individuals under the age of 7 or over the age of 70 due to the potential for those individuals to fall when incapacitated by a taser unless the encounter rises to the level of a deadly force situation.
576-7798. Was it right for a police officer to use a taser on an 11-year-old girl who police say was stealing from a supermarket? 576-7798. Or you can text in 22980.
So let's point a couple of things out.
Yes.
She ignored orders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The officer approached the 11-year-old girl, and we don't know exactly what the order was, but we know that the officer approached her. He probably said something like, "Stop," because my story says she ignored the officer and continued to walk away. So he must have said, "Stop." She was walking away, though, and the officer hit her in the back with the taser. Walking, not running, more importantly, not going toward him. you know, not approaching the officer, but walking away. So he didn't run after her. He didn't continue to yell. He didn't, you know, try to go get her. He just took out his taser and used the taser on the 11-year-old girl. Now, she ignored orders.
I'm going to be unpopular here.
But she wasn't going toward him. You know, if there was a concern about a threat on his safety, she was not going toward him. By the way, we have no indication that she had any kind of weapon.
Did you say that she was alone or was she with others? Because I think
they were called out. They were called out to investigate several young girls accused of stealing from the store. At the time that the officer approached her, I don't know if she was by herself or if the other girls were there.
I may surprise you with my answer. I have no problem with this. I do not have a problem with the officer using a taser on an 11-year-old girl who was stealing from the store.
Allegedly.
Would I have preferred that he chase her down, grab her by the arm, hold her there, then have the legal process? Probably. But don't steal from a supermarket, allegedly. Don't steal, and you won't get tased.
We don't know that she stole. We know that police were called out on reports of girls stealing. Maybe it wasn't this girl. Maybe it was one of the other girls. He hadn't gotten that far yet to know.
576-7798. I backed the police officer here. You suspected this girl was stealing. You got called because there were girls stealing. She ignored you. She ran away from you. Now, that doesn't mean 100% she was stealing, but that sounds like somebody doing something wrong in a supermarket with a backpack that the people who called the officer down there suspected she was stealing. I got no problem with this.
A crime, just because they didn't know for sure if she was stealing. Not everybody who is suspected of a crime is actually committing a crime. And she was not a threat to this guy. She was walking the other direction. She ignored him. She was being a sass. She didn't do what he said, but she was just walking in the other direction. By the way, how did he know her age? You know, 11-year-olds can be small. Their policy says don't use it on a kid that's younger than seven. She's not that much older than 7 years old.
You can tell a difference between a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Not always. Not always. By the way, her back's to him, so he can't see her face to tell.
Well, her back was to him by that point when he first encountered her.
She is still a small girl. She is still a child. And there are other things that you try. And we're not talking about, you know, we're talking about an electric current that immobilizes you. She wasn't running away. She wasn't threatening him with a gun. There was no threat to his safety. You know, was he being lazy and just didn't want to chase after her? Just didn't want to run around the store or what? There are other things that could have been tried there before you use an electric current on a child.
Where do you stand? 576-7798. I think the police officer was in the right. Jamie wishes he would have tried something else.
And police, let's point out, are calling for an immediate investigation, and they want answers within 24 hours to find out why this cop used a taser on an 11-year-old.
It is convenient that the body camera was not turned on.
Doesn't that tell you something?
It does reek of shadiness.
This was the time where he forgot to turn the camera on, you know?
That seems to happen a lot, unfortunately. But I think the police officer was in the right. What do you think? 576-7798. You can text in 22980. Mary, TJ, Jeannie. We'll get to everybody coming up next. Speaking of that keyword to cash, this hour that word is?
Bake, B-A-K-E, bake.
Text it into 72881. By the way, some of you are not getting a response message. Our boss just sent out an email that your messages are going through. You're just not getting the thanks for texting return messages. So your text message is going through. Your chance is registered for $1,000. You're just not getting the receipt on it, basically. 576-7798. Talking about a girl out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Stories out of Cincinnati.com. The police chief there has opened an investigation with the vice mayor saying, I want answers in 24 hours about why a taser was used on an 11-year-old girl suspected of stealing food from a Kroger on Monday. So police were called out It was an off-duty officer actually working security at the Spring Grove Village Kroger investigating several young girls accused of stealing from the store. The officer approaches an 11-year-old girl. She ignores the officer and keeps walking in the other direction. The officer hits the girl in the back with the taser. The girl was arrested on charges, taken to a hospital, and released to her parents' custody. Officers placed on restricted duty pending the outcome of the investigation. They do allow, by department policy, tasers to be used on someone as young as 7 or up until the age of 70. So an 11-year-old is within that window. Tasers, for those who don't know, generate electricity in a small battery-operated unit. It's about the size of a handgun. It generates an electrical current that dominates your neuromuscular and nervous system so that you stop moving. It immobilizes you so that you stop moving. The cop was wearing a body cam, conveniently didn't activate it until after the taser was used. That raises some red flags for me. Even though the department policy says officers are required to activate the devices during all law enforcement related encounters. I was just looking up a little bit more about what tasers do to your body. And there was a study that was done from Drexel University in Arizona State that looked at that in the last couple of years. And they found the shock generated by a taser not only hurts, but also can temporarily impair a person's ability to remember and process information. The study results suggest, I'm just reading this out of Popular Mechanics, a suspect might not be capable of waiving their Miranda rights when questioned by police immediately after a shock because they may not remember what happened.
576-7798. Was it right for this police officer to do this? Or was it out of line? Was it too extreme? 576-7798. Let's go to Mary on KMBZ. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm wondering, did the incident take place inside the store or outside? Because it used to be, when I was growing up, people weren't allowed to ask or approach you if you were stealing something until you were outside of their store.
I don't know.
And I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't agree with him hitting her in the back at all. But I'm just wondering, like, I don't know. It was food that she was stealing?
Allegedly, yes.
Okay.
Because it was a grocery store.
Right. And, I mean, and that's a shame, period. But, and also, I agree, don't steal. You just don't steal from stores without consequences. But also, my curiosity is the rights of someone who's being accused. It used to be they had to wait till they were right outside the door of the company. Then they could be approachable.
We'll have to wait and see. All it says in about 6 different versions that it happened at a Kroger in Cincinnati. Mary, thank you so much. TJ, you're on KMBZ.
Hey, guys. I was just going to say that before tasers, police officers were expected to be in good enough shape that they could restrain and arrest grown men. And if this guy can't restrain an 11-year-old girl without tasing her, then he probably shouldn't even be a police officer. In addition to that, if she was stealing food, he probably should have talked to her about her home life and seen if there was some kind of issue preventing her from being able to eat. I mean, she might have been, you know, hungry. She might have not had another way to get food at the time.
Does that allow her to steal?
Allegedly,
no,
steal.
But there's other recourses other than going straight to tasing an 11-year-old girl.
Well, I mean it sounds like he tried to talk to her, and she walked away, ran away, evaded, whatever. So it does sound like he tried to approach her, and she wanted nothing to do with it. TJ, thanks, man. 576-7798. Jeannie, you're on KMBZ.
Yes, I think the officer definitely had the right to taser. These kids nowadays have no respect for adults. They have no respect for anything. And, you know, you just give them a little slap on the hand. What are they going to do when they're 15 or 16 years old? They'll be out there killing people. They've got to have some consequences for what they're doing.
Yeah, you arrest them. I mean, that's what you do. Those are the consequences that she's going to face is that she's being arrested. She's going to face the criminal justice system. So she's not getting off scot-free.
Well, you know what? They do let you off scot-free for a lot of things. I know somebody stole out of our house one time, and before we even got downtown to the jail, they had already released them. They had the wrong name. They had the wrong address. Those guys got nothing, and this is what happens. There's no consequences for anything anymore. At least the taser, you know what, she'll remember that the next time she goes to do something wrong.
Jeannie, thank you for the phone call. Let's talk to Scott on KMBZ. What do you think, Scott?
I think the officer had full response. I mean, he was allowed to taser. I mean, either way, whether she was breaking the law or not, if the officer tells you to stop, you are told to stop. If you're innocent, stop, talk to the officer, handle the situation, and then you're released. Obviously, she was doing something wrong, or she had a guilty conscience. Whether she was stealing or not, or allegedly stealing, she was still told to stop, and she did not. She tried to evade the officer, which, again, that's against the law.
Or she was scared. You know, she's never dealt with police before. A lot of people run because they're scared and because they don't know how to react in that situation.
Well, that's called evading. I mean, I know you're scared, but still, that's evading. If you look at the rules and the laws, that's evading a police officer.
It is, but it's also out of fear. You're evading a police officer. You're right. That's what you're doing. But you're not necessarily doing it because you're guilty. You're doing it because you're freaking out. And she's 11, not a grown adult.
My son played football with a 12-year-old at the time. When they were 12, he was 6'2", 242. So the one caller's question earlier that an officer can't restrain someone at 11, then I know some officers are small. You have some females out there that wouldn't be able to restrain small officers, but that's why they put those less than lethal means of execution in, you know, to their disposal. I mean, not a firearm or anything like that at the time, like they used to do back in the days when they hit you with it and just, you know, incapacitate you. But I've been tased several times before, not because I broke the law, but because I volunteered for police officers. So I work in an emergency setting, so I volunteered. So, yes, that thing, yes, it does hurt and it incapacitates you, but I remembered everything through the entire event before and after the whole tasing incident.
Hey, Scott, man, appreciate it. Thank you for your opinion. 576-7798. Hank, you're on KMBZ. Go ahead, Hank.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say that for an 11-year-old, I remember being 11 years old, and I don't know the rules when it comes to the police officers. I just go to school and whatever. I think it was excessive force, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, what was she going to do, beat him up with a pork chop if she did steal the stuff? I just think that he could have went a different route, because I'd seen somebody that got stunned, and there were five cops. They stunned this kid all at once. They kept stun gunning him, and it killed him. And he was drunk, I guess, and he was naked, so he was running from him, and they just stun gunned him like five or six times, and it ended up killing him. So I really think it was excessive force.
We'll take some more phone calls coming up. Hank, thank you for yours. 576-7798. Just got word. First pair of tickets is gone for tomorrow night's Chiefs game. That's great. We got 9 left for a $500 donation to tomorrow's Caring for Kids Radiothon. UMB Bank is donating all of their tickets inside their suite. Each pair includes hors d'oeuvres, refreshments, and a gold parking pass. But you got to now be one of the first 9 to make a donation of $500 to the Children's Shelter at the Salvation Army, and the Caring for Kids Radiothon will be broadcasting live tomorrow. If you want the tickets, remember, it's a $500 donation. At least you can donate more, but it's got to be at least $500. A few more phone calls at 576-7798 as we are talking about a young girl out of Cincinnati.
So there's an 11-year-old girl who is a part of a group of girls where police are called at a Kroger, accusing these girls of shoplifting food. So you have an off-duty officer working security there who approaches the 11-year-old and refuses orders is how it's worded. So we don't know what he said, but we know that she turned and walked in the other direction. He tases her. Taser emits a bit of an electrical current, and so it immobilizes a person so that they can no longer run. She had to be taken to a hospital, and afterwards she was released to her parents, and she is facing charges in that incident. The vice mayor of the city of Cincinnati said, I want answers in 24 hours about why an officer used a taser on an 11-year-old girl. By the way, the police chief also is doing an investigation. He was wearing a body camera at the time, but did not turn it on until after the incident.
Do you think it was over the line? Do you think it was appropriate? 576-7798. Let's go to Connie. Thanks so much for hanging, Connie. The floor is yours.
Oh, my gosh. This broke my heart. There was absolutely no reason. It shouldn't even dawned on him to pull out a taser on an 11-year-old girl who was walking away from him. He could have grabbed her by her arm. He could have done anything to contain her, but a taser on an 11-year-old girl, there is no reason for that. That was excessive force, and he needs to be punished for that.
Connie, appreciate your phone call. Let's talk to Tracy on KMBZ. What do you think, Tracy?
Well, hi. I worked in loss prevention for a major department store here in Kansas City for about 4 years. And I have so many questions about this because there's so many different steps that you need to follow before you can actually stop and apprehend someone. A lot of those are you have to see somebody pick up the merchandise, conceal it, and have the intent to leave the store without paying for it. You'd be surprised at how many people pick things up, throw it in their bag, like the recyclable bag or whatever, and then as a security officer, I have to watch them until they show signs of intentionally not paying for it. And then at that point, when that person shows signs of exiting, that's when you're allowed to stop them. So I'm curious as whether or not this guy stopped the child while she's still inside the store, you know, whether or not they were profiling based on age, because at the department store I worked at, the average shoplifter there was a 40-year-old Caucasian woman because of the demographic of where it was located. So I feel like, it was probably excessive force, but I just feel like there's not enough information here.
The investigation will go on. And Jamie, what did you say, 24 hours? They want the results of this investigation?
Vice Mayor wants answers. Vice Mayor says, I want to know something in 24 hours about what the hell happened here.
We will obviously keep an eye on this one. As we wait on that information, let's go back to the phones and talk to Tracy on KMBZ. I'm sorry, Ashley on KMBZ.
There we go. I know that I've got a 12-year-old son, and most of the girls in his class are at least a head taller than him. I haven't seen a picture of this girl, so I don't know. But I don't know that the officer necessarily knew that it was an 11-year-old girl. He might have thought it was a 15, 16-year-old. Also, everybody's saying, restrain her, restrain her, restrain her. But what kind of conversation are we going to be having when there's a video of an officer holding an 11-year-old girl down and restraining her? We'll still be having a conversation about it. People will say, oh, well, that's excessive force, grabbing her by the arm. It bruised her arm. And lastly, grocery stores also do sell cosmetics. I don't know what was reported, but I know I have two stepdaughters that are now in their mid to late 20s, and both of them got in trouble for trying to shoplift cosmetics.
It was a backpack full of food.
Okay, it was. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that 100%.
Yeah.
I think it's a horrible cry and shame that it happened, and I really hope that that little girl was not put up to it by their parents, because I know I worked at Walmart as a teenager, and people would hide things in their baby's car seats to shoplift them.
I believe
and
it.
And not food. It's a shame that it's come to this, and hopefully that little girl does have something at home to eat and it wasn't her parents teaching her this.
Ashley, as always, we appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Tim next up on KMBZ. What's up, Tim?
I would like to know where you kind of draw the line. You know, one of your shows just real recently, you were appalled about a 7-year-old boy that got put in handcuffs, and you're okay with an 11-year-old girl getting tased.
A 7-year-old boy who was ADHD and was running around a gym is not committing a crime. A 11-year-old girl who's allegedly shoplifting is, in a police officer's eyes, committing a crime. So I would say, when you cross over...
Hold on,
I'm answering your question for you here, Tim. What I'm saying is, when you commit a crime, that to me is where the line is drawn.
Okay. Now, we have had ADHD children in our home, and I'm sure he was doing more than just running around and being very pleasant. He was out of control and needed to be subdued.
He kicked a cart. He was running on the bleachers, and he kicked a cart, according to the report.
Yep, and I'm sure there was probably more that happened, but you're basically doing the exact same thing. You're restraining the child. You're okay with handcuffs, but not okay with tasers.
Again, one was breaking the law in the police officer's eyes. The other was being a wild 7-year-old in a gym. Do you not see the difference between that?
He was still breaking the law if he wasn't doing what the officer had commanded him to do. The officer says stop. He didn't stop.
He wasn't breaking the law by being a 7-year-old running around a gym.
Here's the question I have. Because, yeah, the two cases are different. You have a case in a school where a 7-year-old is acting erratic, but has a condition, has a medical condition that has him doing that. Now, you have an officer that perhaps isn't trained in how to deal with a kid that's acting like that, and handcuffs is the first thing he thinks of. In this case, you have an officer with multiple options that chose the taser instead. The question I have is, couldn't he have caught up to her and then put her in handcuffs? I mean, did he just not want to chase her? Was he just not wanting to run that day?
Well, he'd have been under the same scrutiny if he would have put her in handcuffs.
But he could have. No, but she is a suspect under investigation for a crime. If he thought it was okay to taser, then it also would have been okay to have run after her, which we see all the time. Officers chase suspects all the time. Why couldn't he have chased her and then when he caught her, put her in handcuffs?
If a police officer thinks you're committing an illegal activity like shoplifting, did he go far? He may have gone too far. But I don't have a problem with this because she was found to be, in his eyes, allegedly committing a crime. A wild 7-year-old in a gym is not committing a crime. This is not that. That is a black and white issue. One is a crime, one is a not. One's a wild 7-year-old in a gym, one is a girl stealing cans of soup or whatever.
But
allegedly.
Even still, he had other options besides giving her an electrical current that hurt her and put her in the hospital. I mean, you could have run, he could have caught her. He didn't have to manhandle her when he caught her. He could have just caught her and put her in handcuffs.
Had he put the girl in handcuffs, Tim, I would not be on the air saying he should not have put her in handcuffs. Again, he was, in his mind, she was committing an illegal activity. It's apples and bananas. Kathy, you're on KMBZ.
Well, I would think if Kroger's been having trouble with shoplifters, they would have their own security cameras to where the child could have been identified at a later point. Or, everyone said she's with a group of girls, that one of the girls could have given the name at a later point to where I think the taser was just overkill.
There will be a full investigation, and I'm sure there will be cameras inside this grocery store, and we're going to find out more. And, Kathy, thank you for your phone call.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we had the body cameras.
It would be, yeah.
But he didn't turn that on until after all this happened.
Convenient.
So.
So convenient. It's Midday with Jamie and Wickett. The conversation's going on our Facebook page. We'll come back to this a little bit later on at facebook.com/981KMBZ on Facebook, also on Twitter at KMBZ Radio. You can see that as well. There was a local guy that was on a national talk show yesterday. Did you see Jason Kander? You'll hear what he had to say when he was on one of the late night programs coming up here on 98.1 KMBZ. Tomorrow, we will be broadcasting live at Oak Park Mall. We want you to stop out, say hi. More importantly, we want you to make some donations. We want your money for the Salvation Army, the children's shelter over there. It's the Caring for Kids Radiothon. We'll be live. EJ and Alan will be out there from 7 until 10. Then Jamie and I will be out there from 10 until 2. Dana and Parks, Jonathan Weir, hoping to raise as much money as we can for the children's shelter.
And UMB Bank has generously donated their suite. The Chiefs play tomorrow night, and they are letting us have it to raise some money for the Radiothon. So we've got 10 pairs, actually we have 9 pairs now, of suite tickets that are available for tomorrow's game. We're looking for $500 a pair or more, if you'd like to kick in more. Each pair includes the UMB suite, hors d'oeuvres and refreshments, and a gold parking pass. Game time is at 7:30 tomorrow night, so you got to be able to make it tomorrow night. But again, you get the hors d'oeuvres, the suite, and the gold parking pass. We're looking for $500 for a pair of those suite tickets. If you are interested, here's what you need to do. You're going to call Chris at the Salvation Army. The number to reach him is 816-803-0935. Write the number down, 816-803-0935. And the tickets will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Let's get it done. Let's kick off this radiothon with a bunch of money raised and donated before we get to tomorrow. And again, we'll be broadcasting live at Oak Park Mall. Last night, Jason Kander, mayoral candidate, was on. I was doing, I think, a few of the media rounds. I saw him on CNN for a little bit, but he was on Late Night with Seth Meyers. And if you missed it, here's what the possible potential future mayor of Kansas City had to say when he sat down on Late Night.
So your book, Outside the Wire, references when you were serving in Afghanistan and you would leave the base to go talk to people. You were also, after you returned from Afghanistan, 27 years old when you were elected to state office.
Yeah.
What was it like being that young in the state house?
Well, so this is the oldest I've ever been. And so we'll start there. I got to Jefferson City, and people would always ask me, I think they meant, who do you intern for? And they would say, who do you work for? And I would say, 35,000 Kansas Cityans. And, you know, from there, you know, every office I've ever run for, I've kind of been the young guy running for it. So I guess what was it like? I helped a lot of people with their smartphones, and, you know, I explained Twitter.
Oh, that's nice. Do you look back and say that was a terrible thing to do to old people?
Explain Twitter?
I didn't explain
it to this guy.
Yeah, okay.
That ain't me.
That on you. Right?
That's not me.
So I also want to ask, you ran as a progressive, mm-hmm. and there seems to be this same conversation that we had in the 2016 election about the Democratic Party and the progressive wing and the moderate wing, and you have somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where moderate Democrats are saying this is a very scary thing. We have to be very careful about the progressive Democrats taking over the party. Where do you stand on that as a progressive yourself?
So I actually think this is a totally false choice. You know, what I write about in Outside the Wire is that it's really about going out and trying to convince people of things. And it has to be what you genuinely believe. Voters will forgive you for believing something they don't believe as long as they know you really believe it and you believe it because you care about them. You know, when I was running for the Senate in 16, like, I would be in Kansas City talking about equal pay at, like, a Planned Parenthood event. And then I'd go to a rural area and a couple hours later, and be a room full of middle-class men, and I would still talk about equal pay, but I would point out to them that, like, if their wife is making less money than a man doing the same job, they both have less money to send their kid to college. So you win arguments by making arguments. You don't win arguments by trying to make people believe that you actually believe the same thing. Like, you can't win an argument with your roommate that way, let alone the electorate.
Right. You also believe a false choice that seems to be what Democrats are talking about right now is, do you choose to try to flip Trump voters to the Democratic Party, especially ones that were Democrats before he came on the scene, or do you just ignore them and try to get voters who haven't voted before? Do you also believe that's a false choice?
Well, yeah, because, again, you win arguments by making them. So, like, I learned this really early. I tell a story in the book about how one of the very first doors I ever knocked on when I was running for the state legislature, this fella came out, we talked for a second. It was really clear we did not agree on this issue. And I kind of panicked a little inside, and I started to do what I'd seen politicians on TV do. So I started trying to spin him, make him think we believe the same thing. And it wasn't working. And finally, I just was like, I got to get out of here. So I said, you know, thanks. That's what I believe. I guess we disagree. And I go to walk off, and he's like, that's fair. I'll vote for you. You can put a sign in my yard. And and so, like, what I learned from that is that the reason it's a false choice is, like, the people who already agree with you, they can see that you go out and make your argument to people who may not, and they appreciate that, and they get excited. They want to go knock on doors for you. And these people over here who don't currently agree with you, like, if you make your argument, you might convince some of them. And if you just try and pretend you believe the same thing as them, they're going to be like, I don't buy it. So, like, now I'm running for mayor of Kansas City, like, just like any other campaign I've had, I'm out there talking to folks about what's going on their street. I'm not like pretending we live on the same street, you know. I'm like, hey, I'm seeing a lady in a few days who has a possum problem. Like, I'm gonna go walk around. We're gonna look at that. It's important.
You're gonna look at the possum problem?
Absolutely. We gotta try and fix it.
I mean, like, government is about trying to solve people's problems. Had the most boring lives. That sounds kick ass.
Come with me.
I'm down. I'll bring my possum gloves.
If you have some, I'd like to borrow. No, but, like, you know, we joke about it, but that's what, I mean, the best argument for progressive values is progress that people can see, you know? And so in my town, we've had awesome progress, and I want to make sure everybody in town can see it and feel it. That's why I decided to run.
You've always criticized the idea of money in politics, getting it out of politics, and when you were raising money, your opponent started doing this and bringing this to your rallies, your events. This was called the Candor Pander,
yeah.
And it was a guy in a panda suit.
Yeah.
Which is what I like to call a stretch. So, was the Candor Pander something that you were aware of, and did you have to plan around it?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I tell a story in the book how we had to have, like, routes of ingress and egress to go around it, you know, which is a military term that clearly no one here knows. but now you do. And so, but what was amazing to me was there was a dude who that was his job.
Yeah.
And it was hot sometimes. And what I do respect about it was that one time a group of, like, I think kindergartners came, and they knew it was politics. There's a panda.
Yeah.
And, like, it was hot, but he stayed and took pictures with all of them.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
The thing that seems really cruel to me is they make him wear a panda suit, and then he just, like, go to Kinko's and print out Canda Panda.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could have put some production value
in
there.
Yeah, he could have been like, can I have one that goes around my neck so I don't have to hold it all day?
The point of all of it, though, is how insane the system is, right? I mean, the fact that, like, I had to go all over the country raising money for a Senate race in Missouri because you have to raise so much money. At one point, like, it was like speed dating. You would sit in these meetings, and I had this fear. It wasn't even fear, it was a reality. Halfway through, sometimes I would forget the name of the person, but they didn't know. And I was afraid that they were going to be like, what's my name? And one day, this dude says to me, this very nice man who helped the campaign, he says, do you know John Smith? And I'm in my head like, I really thought this was John Smith. And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. And so I didn't know what to do, so I just bit the bullet and I'm like, aren't you John Smith? And he just acted like that's the dumbest thing he ever heard. He's like, I'm talking about the other John Smith. And I'm like so relieved when he said that. I start just laughing like the Joker, just like cracking up. Anyway, I walked out of there with a campaign check and an introduction to the other John Smith.
There you go. That works out perfectly.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Best of luck with everything.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.